told us to watch this documentary called Too Funny to Fail.
Yes.
It is a documentary that was made in 2017. It is the story of Dana Carvey, the former Saturday Night Live cast member who probably most recently popped up on your TV screen during the Super Bowl.
Right.
Recreating Wayne's World for some commercial. Uber Eats is what it was. And Dana Carvey was the king of Saturday Night Live for about 10 years. He was the most popular cast member on that show, and he was incredible.
Did he leave that show with his stock as high as anybody else that's left that show?
I mean, it felt like him and Mike Myers were in very similar spots,
yep,
right?
Eddie Murphy, maybe.
And,
yeah.
And, boy, if you put those two together with Farley and Sandler, and, I mean, that, to me... That's your Saturday Night Live dream team, and they were all kind of there together.
It was the, I don't want to say, you know, because I think every
generation
has their wheelhouse years, but I think that was the best. The Farley, Mike Myers, you know, and Mike Myers and Dana Carvey were like the older brothers to Sandler and Farley and those guys.
Spade, yeah.
Yeah, Spade, Chris Rock. So anyway, he leaves Saturday Night Live in 1996. And he wants to launch his own venture of some kind. And this documentary points out that as he's trying to put together a show, a sketch comedy show, and what network do I want it to be on, he had his pick of the litter.
Yes.
But his agent told him, like, look, I know HBO sounds like it's probably the right move for you, but it probably isn't because you have such crossover appeal that... Mom and Pop and Little Johnny, they all love you. You're going to be a king on network TV, which again, in 1996, that's the way you went. It's where the money was. Mm-hmm. It's where everything was. You didn't go to some little cable network to try to grow your show and allow it to succeed.
And wasn't he the heir apparent to replace Dave?
He was.
That is incredible. I did not know that.
Turned down David Letterman's show.
The guts to turn down Letterman and the amount of money that we're talking about there really puts the picture in the frame of what we're talking about here. Like, otherwise, it almost sounds too much of a tall tale that Dana Carvey was running Hollywood for a few months. But I guess the type of leverage to anchor late nights in the heyday of late nights to replace Letterman.
Yeah. I
mean, that shows you. And then to turn them down because, I'd rather do this over here.
Well, he turned it down because he's got kids.
Yeah, it's 250 hours of programming a year, and he had two young boys.
It's all day. Yeah. You don't use, you know, like Letterman would take his car in. He'd have a driver pick him up in wherever he was, Connecticut somewhere. Yeah. And then he was gone all day. He never saw whoever he was married to at the time, and eventually his son never saw him. And Jimmy Fallon's talked about this, too. He's like, I didn't know. I didn't know what my life would turn into and how my family is just something imaginative almost.
Yeah, but the alternative, you're not working out of your house. You're doing a sketch show, and those guys talk about 100-hour work weeks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're probably right. But
it's still, what was it, 30 minutes a week?
Yeah, and
that
you get...
That was the content. It was
and,
30 minutes.
And seasonally, think about it this way.
It did sound like way fewer weeks.
6 months a year as opposed to every single day. Anyway, so he and Robert Smigel, and Smigel is Triumph the Insult Dog. Smigel is the lead writer on Conan O'Brien's show. He's a lead writer on Saturday Night Live.
He's the super fan you don't recognize. When it was George Wendt and Farley and...
Oh, the Bears sketch.
Yeah, the Bears super fans. He was the actual key super fan, but wasn't necessarily on their level of fame, I didn't think.
Right. And he was kind of David Spade's mute... not David Spade. David Spade... Because they look alike? Dana Carvey's muse. And so Dana Carvey said, look, you want to come do this show with me? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. I
want
to do
whatever we want.
Yeah, let's and it's almost like even though you worked under these certain parameters for NBC and Lorne Michaels and SNL, now this is your own thing. You answer to no one.
They're giving us the keys to the castle.
Yeah. And so it was something that they both were like, wow, we have this freedom to do whatever we want. And then it was about a matter of putting together the cast. And man, again, I didn't watch this show when it came out. I have no memory of it whatsoever.
I remember one sketch, and it was the waiters
who are
nauseous about food.
They're
or whatever
grossed
it was
out
called.
By food.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that skit. I did not watch this show regularly. I feel like I really missed out.
Well, I do too. I'd love to go back and revisit it, but the show or the cast, they start combing the Second City, you know, comedy sketch dudes, and the first name that pops up is Steve Carell, and they go to see a Steve Carell performance at Second City. He wasn't there that day.
His understudy was, though.
His understudy was there, and it's Stephen Colbert, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they're like, we want that guy. And then they both go in for a big audition.
Heck, let's take them both.
They both end up getting the gig, and it's not to write. This is to star in the show. You're going to write as well, obviously, because everybody's writing at that time. But those were the two main cast members. Steve Carell. Oh yeah, I just can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Colbert. Then they need a head writer. And who do they go after? Well, Robert Smigel says, I know a guy that's perfect. He's 29. He put together the Conan show, basically. You ever heard of Louis C.K.? Dana Carvey says, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
And Smigel's like, trust me, this is your guy. So that troika and Dana Carvey, and then the other writers that they got, they've gone on to win Academy Awards.
Right.
They've gone on to create, Emmy-winning TV shows, including 30 Rock. I mean, they had the super friends.
And the thing is, you have to keep in mind, is this isn't too many cooks spoil the kitchen. The content was genius.
Yeah.
The show was fantastic. The sketches were great. But the problem was, it was not for network television, especially when your lead-in is a family show in Home Improvement. This would have worked on HBO. Who's to say this thing still wouldn't be going in some form or another had it been on HBO?
There's the fatal flaw.
Networks,
I know what you're getting ready to mention.
Okay, you got
to
do the...
I'm going to play that for
okay,
you.
Okay, great.
But the networks
segment.
Wanted Church Lady. They wanted Wayne's World. They wanted the mainstream comedy that the whole family can love. They didn't get that.
Well,
they got basically every sketch being as insane as Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yeah.
So the nauseous waiters are trying to read you the specials, but everything they say makes them sick to their stomach. So as the waiters are trying to explain to you that mushroom soup, and they're like trying not to dry heave. Then another one of the anchor skits was... what was the pranksters? What were they called?
Oh, stupid pranksters.
Pranksters. So these guys are doing pranks, but they don't quite know how they work. And so they order a bunch of food at fast food place. Then they pay for it. But before the guy can give them their food, they peel off and they're laughing. they pulled a prank on the guy.
Yeah. Always about them getting money.
Yeah.
They win the lottery.
Yeah, they win the lottery. They're handing them the giant check for like $60 million, and they just run.
Yeah. Carvey's like,
don't take them.
And it's Dana Carvey and Steve Carell, and they're both, you know, they look like they're 15 years old. And they're like, can you guys hang on for just a second? As they're backing up, you know, and then they just run out like, yeah, we got him again.
We'll be right back.
It's really funny. And so the first skit that they ever aired,
oh boy,
and this was a huge, huge point of contention for the network. So imagine this. Imagine little network dorky TV where it's just your cookie cutter garbage shows like Home Improvement and Coach. Again, they've got their own. They've got merit. There's no doubt. But
sure.
As far as like what America wanted back then.
American families.
Yes.
And they're following the number one show.
Home Improvement.
So the ratings are way up here when they get it.
Yeah, and that was another reason why they chose ABC is because ABC said, we'll put you up right after the number one show on TV. It's no-brainer.
Yeah.
You got a lead-in audience of 30 million people every week. Let's do it.
But they didn't know their audience.
No, and so the very first sketch of the very first Dana Carvey show, you just cut to a scene, and there's Dana Carvey as Bill Clinton. And he's doing the, hey, everybody, how you doing? And he's talking about how he's locked Hillary in a closet because he wants to take a more active role in nurturing the country.
Uh-huh.
And he can do it as a man or a woman because he's had some...
I can be the father and the mother.
He's
this country.
Taking hormones.
Like and estrogen.
Yeah, estrogen.
And now he has 8 breasts.
Yes. He takes his shirt off to reveal, which they worked on the show, and it's hilarious to see him do this. He's got teats for days.
That's
it's like
8.
Yeah. They're up and down. And he's like, I can feed America. And then here comes a baby doll sucking on one of the nipples. And then Robert Smigel comes into the picture and he's bringing dogs and
little
cats.
Puppies are.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's milk
flying
out
everywhere
of the nips and dogs are lapping it up. And there's Bill Clinton just holding these puppies. And
the first skit they ever did.
Right.
It's possible network TV wasn't ready.
No.
No.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's continue with this because.
Okay.
It gets even more insane on the Dana Carvey Show. Thank you, Dan. All right, before we get to E! News, let's continue talking about Too Funny to Fail.
Yes, it's been a fantastic week for documentaries because there's no sports.
If you had power.
Provide you had power, and yeah. For brief moments I did. And so we found this on the Hulu, and it's the story of Dana Carvey and
it's
the Dana
so
Carvey
damn
show.
Good.
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
And it's also amazing that it's not one of those documentaries that everyone's pushing on you. This one evidently fell through the cracks, at least in our world, several years ago when it was released. But mm-hmm. it's a star-studded cast. It's
laugh out loud when you're by yourself.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the one thing we didn't bring up that I do think is relevant to the story is ABC being sold to Disney like right during this time. So the old, who owned ABC?
Jeez, I don't even know.
ABC? I don't
Probably,
know.
Probably, yeah.
Whoever owned ABC or ABC proper decided we're throwing everything at the Dana Carvey Show. We feel like this can save us and this can pave our future. And then as the show is being created, there's a 2 or 3 month lag time of, okay, we're doing this. Here's our team. Now we'll see you in 3 months to do the show. During that time, Disney bought ABC. And the story is kind of rather obvious that the new people didn't really want this show. It didn't fit their vision of where ABC was going, but they had already committed to it. So that probably meant it was dead on arrival. And that, I suppose, explains how a show this star-studded and this talented could fail this badly.
Yeah, again, he assembled a cast in 1996 to, again, unknown, Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Louis C.K., obviously titans in the industry now, but at the time they were unknown. Carvey was the one bell cow that everybody knew, and like we were saying,
it was his name on the show.
They wanted Dana Carvey from SNL doing that old stuff, and Dana says, look, it's like playing your hits as a musician. You get sick of that. I'm creative. I like to create things.
And I want
to
do church lady
yeah,
the rest of my
and
life.
I totally get it. You know, you're bored with that type of stuff, and so you get these fresh young minds in there, and they are coming up with anything and everything that they think's funny. And it really was, like, especially hearing them talk about it. But yeah, the ABC thing, Disney thing was probably a death knell. But I think even like, this had to, this needed to be either on Comedy Central mm-hmm. or HBO or whatever back
or late
then.
Night.
It needed to be on cable. This did not need to be at 8:30 at night after Home Improvement. So.
And the minute-by-minute Nielsen ratings proved that.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't know that was a thing either, but ABC purchased this thing where they could actually track the number of human beings tuned in minute-by-minute. First episode ever that they run the Bill Clinton breastfeeding sketch. And they go from 30 million, and they said they've never seen it before. They lose 6 million people within like a minute and a half.
I think it was 3 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, you could not coordinate to get America to do what you want them to do if you tried.
Right.
And yet we made America all tune out simultaneously.
Yes. So, and they weren't aware of Home Improvement. None of these guys were watching Home Improvement that were working on this show. They had no idea. And so
Smigel watched it once.
Yeah, Smigel said, you know what? I need to watch this show. I need to see what it's all about. So, you know, again, they know nothing about Tim Allen, nothing. They don't know what they're following. They just know they're in prime time and the show's number one. So here's Smigel talking about finding out what Home Improvement is like and what kind of guy he thought Tim Allen was.
Seemed like maybe he's a hip comedian. He'd been busted for cocaine or something. I don't know. Is Home Improvement a little racy maybe, right?
I get your point now, Tim. You respect me, huh? I hadn't watched it until about four shows in. I just stopped everything at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday and watched it, and just watched in horror, just not believing what we had foisted on this audience.
All right, so he couldn't believe it. And also one of the genius bits of the Dana Carvey show was that they were going to harken back to the 50s and 40s and 50s television shows, where if you watched The Honeymooners or if you watched some of these old shows, there was a sponsor attached to it immediately.
Yes.
And so you would see, you know, like the Ford blah, blah, blah show. Welcome.
Yes, the Malto Meal, Lucy, Desi and Lucy show.
Yeah. So they were all sponsored. So they wanted to do a bit where every week they had a goofy sponsor. And they sold Taco Bell.
Yeah, for number one.
Yeah.
For episode one.
And then Taco Bell, after the Bill Clinton breastfeeding bit, they jumped ship.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. And so they would have like random, but they kept selling it until the very end when they just couldn't sell it. They couldn't sell it anymore. But anyway, they did keep selling it week after week for the first 6 weeks. So what you're hearing is an actual promo that ran on ABC. Smigel's talking about. Smigel's talking about Home Improvement here, and then you'll hear the actual promo that ran, and then they're playing this for Steve Carell now, for the doc.
They've never seen it before.
They've never seen it. Stephen Colbert now, Dana Carvey now, so they're all seeing this, and this is what happened.
Not believing what we had foisted on this audience.
ABC Tuesday, a parent's worst fear, losing a child.
I don't want to die, Dad.
You never know whose family it will happen to. An episode so powerful, it hits home.
We beat this thing, no matter what it is, you know. I'm not letting anything happen to you.
A special Home Improvement, followed by the Diet Mug Root Beer Dana Carvey Show.
Diet Mug Root Beer.
Listen to him laughing, too. They're literally covering their faces, crying, laughing. I don't want to die, Dad.
The death of a child.
Yeah. The parents' worst nightmare. The death of a child. And then to follow it up with that.
We beat this thing, no matter what it is, you know. I'm not letting anything happen to you.
A special Home Improvement, followed by the Diet Mug Root Beer Dana Carvey Show.
Diet Mug Root Beer. How they'd fallen from a PepsiCo company and Taco Bell to Diet Mug Root Beer to Happy Szechuan.
Yeah.
Was their last one.
Yeah, there was just one mom and pop Chinese restaurant in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
To see Carell and Colbert, they were in separate places whenever they were shooting this, but man, to see how they're so into this show.
Yeah.
You know, because it made their career.
Right.
Because being on that show helped them get the Daily Show gig.
Right.
And then, obviously, it went from there, and then The Office, and then Late Night, and all that. But
God, I want to watch this so bad. I mean, the clips that they showed, every sketch, I'm like, yes,
dude,
this is what I'm into.
Did you have any idea the ambiguously gay duo started there?
No idea.
I mean,
crazy.
One of the best SNL skits ever started there.
It was Colbert and Carol. As the voices of them.
I didn't either.
I had no idea that was Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, Ace and Gary, if you watch the ambiguously gay duo on SNL, the cartoon of the weird gay superheroes, that's
the
Colbert.
Suspiciously shaped vehicle they drove around
yeah.
in.
That was colored the color of peach.
Peach colored.
I mean, they pushed the envelope. Full.
So hard.
Speed ahead, man. It was awesome. Like, it was that type of creative freedom, I guess, was so liberating for those guys. It was just the wrong audience. And how could they ever think that was going to work, looking back at it with 2020 vision?
We forgot to mention that in the Bill Clinton breastfeeding skit, he stands up and his ass is like
a
that of
tail.
A duck.
He's got a
like
duck ass.
And I got duck feathers as an ass.
It makes
what?
No sense.
It's like the stoner comedy that you come up with at 2 a.m. and you're thinking it's the greatest thing in the world. And the next day you're like, oh, is that even that funny? I don't know. They put that stuff on the air.
It's almost like Bob Hope shooting kittens with lasers from his eyes.
Right.
Man, it's awesome. So it's called Too Funny to Fail.
Yes.
It's the history of the Dana Carvey Show. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It is such a fun watch. And, you know, they all made it. Every one of these guys became huge. And so that makes it funnier.
Right.
Because They didn't need the show.
Did you like how Jimmy Fallon was almost a cast member?
That is hilarious.
I had no idea about that. That Louis C.K., because he's a fat, dumpy, balding guy, sees this good-looking 20-year-old kid in Fallon auditioning for it. Fallon kills the audition, and Louis's like, no, I can't go to work and see that kid every day.
He said, I will quit this show if you hire this kid. Because he's too good looking and
too talented.
And annoying. So he goes on Fallon's show.
And tells the story.
Yeah, he tells the story, and Fallon's looking at him like, you jackass, man. That was my life. And he was like, yeah, you were too good looking. I was already sweaty and bald and gross. And here you were all hip and cool. And you had
the guitar.
Probably, you know, scored all kinds of chicks.
That's awesome.
It's great, man.
All right, so check it out. Too Funny to Fail on Hulu. Coming up next, the Diet Mug Root Beer e-news in 3 minutes.
Divorce.